Lord and Heavenly Father, your blessings are numerous to us, Lord. And if only, Lord, we were to keep in your will and we will keep where you want us to be, Lord, we will be able to revel in them, Lord. I want to just thank you, Lord, so much for them. I want to thank you, Lord, for the love that you give to us and the ultimate love that you gave when you sent your Son on the cross to die for us, Lord. Lord, as I open your word up tonight, Lord, I want to pray that everything I say, Lord, will be coming from you. And will be, Lord, only from your word, Lord. Lord, please help me. And Lord, just open the hearts of the people here tonight, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Honestly, don't know how I'm going to go tonight because I've been absolutely tremendously blessed in so many ways over the past, well, let's say 6 months, that I'm, it's continuing today and I'm just feeling so under humbled before the Lord, because I just don't feel worthy, and I'm just praising Him. So I'm probably going to cry tonight. Just what happens. Ever since I gave myself to the Lord when my baby passed away nearly 2 years ago, He's turned me into a bit of a sook. So, but praise the Lord. It's all for the betterment of my spiritual walk with the Lord. So praise the Lord. Last week I was talking about the blessings that we can get from God. I was talking about it through Abraham's life and how Abraham was able to obtain these blessings. But I realized as I was reading through Joshua that before blessings come, we can have victory. Victory and blessings, I was actually coming to conclusion of that are actually two different things. Temptations come and victory to resist these we can have. It can be achieved. We can achieve victory in whatever we do, in every single trial, every single temptation that comes along. An athlete wants victory. No matter what the athlete does, he wants victory. Now, I read an account of Usain Bolt. He actually was naturally a fast man. When he was a boy, he was winning all his races, and it was actually talking about how lazy he was. He was such a lazy guy, and yet he was winning all the time as a boy. But when it got down, when he was like, all right, now you're going to start getting serious about this, he actually went to 4 Olympics ago, I think it is, he went to the Olympic Games and he lost big time. I don't know if anyone knew that. He actually lost. And it came down where he was like, okay, all right, I've got to start doing something. I can't be lazy. I think he was doing a bit of training before that one, but he was a fairly lazy guy. So his whole regime changed. His whole life changed where he started to become, he got a personal trainer and got the technique right. And there's a lot of hard work involved in becoming, well, now he's broken the world record a few times. Every year he seems to break another record. Now this is an athlete and the effort put in was so tremendous for him to get that victory. Now, every single one of those other athletes that are running in that race with him don't go into the race thinking, I'm going to come last. They all go in that race because they want victory. They want first place. All that hard work that the last person and the first person have put in is all resulting in what they want is that victory. They want victory. Victory does take a lot of effort, though. Victory does take a lot of effort. And we see that in the Christian life. We don't see any of the men of God always just riding along, having a good old time. They are working hard to serve God. Now, if you turn back to Joshua in chapter 1. Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 5, it actually says, God is actually talking to Joshua, and he says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, does that sound like victory or what? No man will be able to stand before you. He has been promised here victory before he even goes out. Joshua has victory in the things he's going to do. One thing I do remember, though, is that there was a battle that was lost. There was a battle that was lost. But he promises that no man will be able to ever stand against thee. So it put in my head, it made me think, so why, what makes victory not happen in the Christian life? What makes victory not happen? And so I was studying out Joshua and I was seeing a few different points and whatever. But the thing I continually see is that God promises us victory. God promises us victory before we even start our Christian life. At the beginning of our walk with the Lord, we are promised victory. So it's the song Victory in Jesus actually does become real to us because we will have victory. We can have victory. Their victory is something that will be achieved, but it comes down to the work that we got to do between now and the ultimate victory that we can have in going to heaven with the Lord. But every single day we have trials, temptations, and we need victory. We desire victory. I listened to a message a little while ago that was talking about the victory we can have over temptation. We can have victory over temptation. And that happens every single day of our lives. Every person's different. We have different fleshly desires, I suppose you could say. There's different desires that we have. Guess what? Every single one of those desires, every single one of those temptations, you can have victory. You can. It comes down to the promises that God has given us that we can have victory and what we do with them. And what we do between now and that ultimate time of actually getting victory. Now, the two things that I believe stop victory, I only brought it down to two. You could find a lot more and you could cut it down a lot deeper. But the two things that I believe stop victory, the first one is disobedience to God's word. This is a very, very broad thing, but disobedience to God's word. If you look in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, he says all these good things that in verse 6 he says that Joshua is going to be the one that divides the land. In verse 5 he says, no one will be able to stand before you. In verse 3 it says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you. So there's so many, his victory is given and so many blessings promised to him. And then verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Now, looking back from Joshua, and to see what sort of word of God, I suppose you could say, he had, well, he had the first five books of the Bible, which Moses wrote. And as you can see in Joshua chapter verse 1 there, Moses had died, so obviously they were written. And in verse 8 it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So, continuously, just here, Joshua is told that he needs to keep the word of God. He needs the word of God evident in his life. Now, Joshua was told to walk around Jericho once a day for 6 days and on the seventh day to do it seven times. You know what Joshua did? He obeyed. He did what the word of God said to him. God's voice was in a different time then, so he was actually, as he talked to the Lord and as he slept that night, the voice of the Lord came to him, but he did that. He did it. Victory, because he obeyed. And how, we just take from that, how like silly would have you been looking? These guys on the wall cursing you and laughing at you because you're marching around, but he obeyed. He did the hard thing, he did it, and God brought victory. Joshua obeyed, I should have said this one first, when he was crossing the Jordan River. God said to Joshua, well, go across, step into the Jordan, go. And he goes, all right, let's go guys, priest first, go. Straight across. That's when the blessings of the Lord and the victory were shown, where the waters dried up and they were able to walk straight across. Now, seeing in sort of a contrast of someone who obeyed and someone who didn't obey, I was wondering how deep Troy was going to go this morning in talking about Saul. But King Saul disobeyed God's word many times. One of the times was when he kept the sheep. He said that the people did, but ultimately it was him. He disobeyed God's word. What sort of victory did Saul see after that? Continuously, for about 15 years, he was trying to track down David and never got victory. Never got victory. What about Jonah and his disobedience of God's direction in his life? He went the opposite way. He tried to get away. And ultimately, he ended up in the whale's belly. And obviously, coming out of these things, Jonah was down in the belly of the whale, and he was able to repent of his sins, and God then blessed him forth from there. But disobeying God's word never brings victory. Did you know God's word says a lot? God's word tells us to do a lot of things. If we can't obey it, how are we ever going to have victory in our walk with the Lord? How? You can say that you can be prosperous in the world, but what prosper is there? What sort of success can you get out of the world unless you're in the will of the Lord? What success can you get out of the world even if you do become the president or whatever? That's probably not the highest success that you could get, but anyway. But what success can you really, truly get here on earth unless you're in the will of the Lord and getting the blessings and the victory from Him? Now, we don't have God's word as in an audible way, like coming straight from heaven into our ears, like they did a lot of the times in the Bible times with the dreams and different things that were the different ways God talked to the people. But we have the most light that any man has ever had. We've got the record. We have what Joshua had. We've got that. We've got continuously men's testimonies of men and women who disobeyed and obeyed God, which should lead us in a way that's like, well, we shouldn't mess up from their mistakes. Everything we need is here. Everything we need is here in God's word to help us and guide us and direct us in our life and in our walk with the Lord. We have the most light in history right here. The most light in history. So for us to be obeying God's word really comes down to knowing what it says. How can we obey something we don't know? Well, we don't understand, or we don't actually spend time in. Now, I have to go here. I can't help, but we need to go to Proverbs in chapter 2. Proverbs in chapter 2. Finding out about God's word and really what God wants from us comes down to, you could say, these four verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, take that how you want, but receiving my words really means having an open heart to hearing what God has to say. Hide my commandments with thee. How often do we actually memorize scripture and have them in our heart? And like Troy was talking about last week, engrafting them into our lives, inclining thy ear to wisdom. A lot of the time we don't just get wisdom out of God's word, but we can hear it from other people. And applying thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Who has actually got a desire for knowledge so much that they're on their knees and crying out to God, please give me knowledge, give me wisdom? Who does that? And it says, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. God, give me understanding. I can't have victory in my life unless I have God speaking to me through His word and helping me out. And then it says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure. The world pursues wealth to a point where people kill for it. All the time, people die, kill others for seeking treasure, for getting wealth, for obtaining. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and kill someone, because you don't need to kill someone to obtain the the silver and the precious gems that are in God's Word. But who of us actually seeks out from God's Word the wisdom that's within here? Seeks it for as hid treasure, has that same zeal that you do for when you want to get wealth in this world. Who has that same zeal? Because then it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is where it comes down to. And yet, we don't do it. We've got the equation to victory in our lives. But so often we have it sitting on the shelf and not using it to actually have victory in our lives. So often we don't obey God's word because we don't know it. And when we know it, a lot of the times we disobey it continuously. A lot of the times we disobey it continually. It's hard. And like I said, as an athlete trains for all those years, whether it's those 4 years leading up to the Olympics or whatever it is, it's hard. It takes hard work. Christian life isn't easy. It's hard. But you know what? It's so worth it. It's so worth it because we are promised victory. We are promised victory. The other thing that stops us from having victory in our life is sin. Now you could put this in the same box of obeying God's word, because if you're disobeying, well, that's sin. Disobeying is as the sin of witchcraft. But I'll put it into another box because I'd like to talk about it a little bit more. Joshua lost a battle. Joshua lost a battle. If you turn to Joshua chapter 7, why, when God promises victory, would he allow a battle to be lost? Well, it comes down to something that we've done. Don't ever think that God has failed you or that God hasn't kept these promises, because it comes down to we're not holding up our end of the bargain. So the lost battle was from disobedience, but there was sin within the camp. It talks about it in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, just a side note, you may think your sin's only affecting you and your walk with the Lord, but what's it doing to the camp? What is your sin doing to the camp, the other believers around you? Your sin, how is it affecting the believers and the work and the body of believers, the church, and the furtherance for the kingdom and towards the kingdom of getting others saved, being a witness and testimony in our community? Don't ever think that your sin will just stay with you and your relationship with the Lord and it just affects you, because sin is one of those things that affects the whole camp. And you know why I say it affects the whole camp? Because it talks about here in verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. 3,000 men went up to destroy this city, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. 36 people died because of Achan's sin. It was because of the sin that was in the camp that other people suffered, and ultimately death came about because of the sin. Now, God takes sin very seriously, very, very seriously, and so should we. Continue reading there. It says, for they chased them from before the gate even unto... no, we don't need to read the rest of that. 36 men were killed because of the sin that Achan had. Not only did 36 men die, well, they lost the battle. They lost the battle. That was not getting victory in one of the battles. What about the testimony of God that was tainted before these heathens now? And all the people around, everybody always heard about what went on, all the battles that went on. Well, what sort of testimony of the Lord now was tainted because of Achan's sin. Just this one man taking something and doing what was and taking of the spoil of Jericho when he wasn't supposed to. Sin causes disfellowship with God, which then actually takes away the power of God in things we do. In James in chapter 1, it talks about sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Sin bringing death. Now we can take this in a physical term where this death has actually happened, death of 36 men because of Achan's sin, but we can also just take it as death is separation and separation from God ultimately. Back in the Garden of Eden, there was a lot of death that happened when Adam took of that fruit and Eve. Not only was there separation from God, there was the physical death, there was all this stuff, but ultimately that relationship that was supposed to have had with Adam and God and the beautiful talking together, it was now tainted because of the sin that happened. Sin stops victory. Sin stops victory. Achan sinned and he knew he did it. He knew he did it because obviously he did it, but the fact that he didn't actually confess. Did you know that, like, you think about it. They went out to battle. God had promised the whole nation that you're going to get victory. They went out. 36 men died. They came back and they're all thinking, I thought God was with us in this. What happened? Now, Achan, you can imagine him going, like, it would have been eaten at him. But Achan didn't confess it. Achan didn't go and say, it was because of me, I did this. Joshua had to go before the Lord and cry and say, God, why has this happened? And God said, well, this is because sin. You need to go find it. Joshua went and had to go through the tribes and actually reduce it down to who did it. And God had to show him. There was no repentance from Achan. There was no repentance from Achan. He did what was wrong and he didn't repent at all. He only confessed when Joshua got down to him and said, what have you done? And he said, oh, well, I did this. I stole. Now, God takes sin seriously. You know how seriously he takes it? He takes it so seriously that God told Joshua to take Achan, his wife, his children, his flock, all his herd and all his stuff, and put him in a hole and they stoned them all to death. That's how serious God takes sin. God hates sin. You know what David did? David sinned big time as well. David sinned big time. But when it was revealed to him what he had done, he broke down before God and said, God, I'm sorry. And you know what? The ultimate punishment for David's sin was his death. David said it from his own mouth. But because of repentance, it came about that David was saved from having to die. Doesn't mean that the consequences for that sin, it's still his son had died from that. His sin brought forth a physical death in his son. But sin is very, very serious. And God will accept, like God does forgive our sin. But boy, oh boy, when we sin, how do we get victory? How can we have victory? It talks about in Psalms about regarding not iniquity in our hearts. This is not having the sin that's evident there in our lives. And when we know our sin, confess it to God. Do you know what it says? It says, regard not iniquity in our hearts, for the Lord will not hear us. Our fellowship is broken. The line that we can have with God, the beautiful, sweet fellowship of talking with the Heavenly Father, that happened only because Jesus' death on the cross and being the one who took away that middle wall of partition it talks about in God's Word, that's tainted when we have sin there. When we have sin. Now, Achan sinned and it caused the whole nation to suffer. But his lack of repentance ultimately caused his own death and the death of his family. David's sin, it caused the death of his son. But the repentance that was, and when he repented before the Lord, it brought restoration between him and God. So repentance can come about to restore that sin problem. But if we don't, how can we ever have victory is ultimately what we're talking about, getting victory in day-to-day life and ultimately in all that we do. God takes sin very, very seriously, and God hates sin. If we go back to Joshua in chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, I've preached a message on this already before, but it talks about when they were crossing the Jordan River. And it says in verse 5, And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. Victory can be achieved when you sanctify yourselves. This is when we become, where we put ourselves before God, and we can become come before Him as pure, having our sin confessed before the Lord. Sanctification ultimately, yes, it is a continual thing that's working in our lives, becoming more and more like Christ. But when we have sin that's evident in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. He can't, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord would not hear us. We need to have, it's actually an action of purification. That's what sanctifying yourself is. It's a action of cutting off, putting out, getting rid of. Because God takes sin seriously, we do need to as well. Getting rid of idols in your life. Idols, anything that stands between you and God. Now, when we always hear about the kings of the old time, about how when it talks about in 2 Kings 18, in the first four verses, that talks about Hezekiah, it says that he was a good man and he honored God. You know what his first thing he did? He says he cut down the groves. He destroyed the high places, the places of worshipping these other idols. The number one thing that you need to do in your life before you can walk in a way that's honoring to God is cutting down, being drastic with the sin in your life, getting rid of it. Now, it's different for everybody. Well, some sin is just sin. But ultimately, the things that stand between us and God is different between us all. We need to be drastic with our sin as God is drastic with sin. He hates sin. Every king that honored God, they first took down the groves. And even though some of the kings, it says that they were a good king, if they didn't take down the groves, well, they were back in idolatry as quick as ever. If they didn't take down those breaking the images, cutting down the groves. You can read that in 2 Kings verse 18 and many other times throughout that passage in God's Word. Now, before victory, we need to sanctify ourselves. What victory did they have when they were crossing that Jordan River? They sanctified themselves. And then it says, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You're wondering why God's not doing wonders among you? Do you sanctify yourself? Have you got sin that's evident in your life that's stopping you from having that relationship with God? God did one of the biggest miracles straight after the people sanctified themselves. Now, bringing this down to us personally, are we getting into God's Word? Are we seeing God's Word as something that can be alive in our lives and ultimately bring forth the victory that God promises us? God promises us victory before we even have it, before we do anything. Or are we going to sort of stand back away from the promises of God and just sort of float on the back of other Christians going ahead before us? What are we going to do personally? What am I going to do with my relationship with the Lord? And how am I going to get victory? Am I going to get into this Word of God? Because this is where it comes down to. Obedience to the words of God. And then the sin that's in our lives. Are we cutting it out? As a church, if there's something that's going on, like I believe that it's very, very important to be drastic against CCM music. That's a huge thing that us as a church need to be drastic with because of what it brings into the churches and what it accumulates to be. God wants us to be drastic with these different things. Are we being serious about our sin in our lives? And are we ultimately getting rid of them out of our lives? If you want victory, you got to do the hard yards. If you want victory, suck it up and go. Do things for the Lord. Get the Word of God and get up every morning. I confess deeply that I struggle with that every morning. But getting up and reading God's Word, it's the only thing that can truly bring you victory in your life, is being close and having a close relationship with God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we know that You are a good God. And for some unknown reason, it's only because of Your goodness, Lord, You promise us things in Your Word, victory. You promise us blessings. You give us so many things, Lord. Lord, help us to be good stewards of what You give us, and be good stewards of ultimately our lives. Help us to serve You, Lord, as much as we can, and be the men and women of God that You want us to be, Lord. Lord, help us to sacrifice. Help us to ultimately get rid of these things that are standing between us and You, Lord. And help us to get down into the hard work that we know it's going to be, and get close to You and reading Your Word, Lord. Lord, this is where victory will happen, not only in the church, but in our lives before You, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.